Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. When I say the name Elijah, what images come to your mind and what emotions rise up in your soul? Oh my, Elijah is one of my great Bible heroes. What about you? Let's set the stage. The year was about 870 BC. Wicked King Ahab and his queen Jezebel reign over the northern kingdom of Israel. They are fully opposed to anything about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have been enthusiastically and even with government funds making every effort to build shrines and establish the immoral and sometimes violent worship of the false god Baal throughout Israel while eradicating any worship of the true God of Israel. 1 Kings 17 opens reporting an uncomfortable, confrontational encounter between King Ahab and the prophet of God Elijah. Now Elijah the Tishbite said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Drought is a radical, humbling, terrifying crisis. Hot, sunny skies, week after week of no rain or dew, hardening ground, every plant or pasture land burning up, and soon animals are dying in the fields. Panic ensues because every living thing needs water every day. Even as Elijah spoke those words to Ahab, I'm sure he was wondering about his own survival. Where would he go to find water? 1 Kings 17 tells us God sent Elijah to the Cherith Ravine east of the Jordan, where fresh, cool water from a stream and miraculously some type of daily food delivery brought by raven birds would sustain him, until, that is, the stream dried up. How long Elijah waited for new directions from God, we don't know, but next God sent Elijah to the town of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. I've learned that when the Bible gives us specific locations for events, there's usually a reason. In this case, Sidon is Queen Jezebel's home region, and it's along the coast of the Mediterranean. Elijah would have to walk all the way across parched Israel to reach there. Oh my, I'm sure Elijah knew that, yet hunger and thirst are powerful motivators, so he went, as directed by God. The record shows us that Elijah was met by a widow gathering sticks for a fire with her intention of baking one last loaf of bread for herself and her son with the final ingredients she had in her little home, 1 Kings 17. As you read those few verses, you'll be amazed at the miracle God did, so those ingredients never diminished day after day. That dear widow was able to keep supplying herself, her son, and now Elijah with fresh bread daily as the famine ravaged the countryside. If fear of starvation is not enough, do you suppose the widow assumed God would protect her little son while the food lasted? One day, that boy got sick, and daily his condition worsened until he died. 1 Kings 17 recounts the amazing miracle of God restoring her boy's life as Elijah prayed. Finally, word came from God to Elijah with a new assignment. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. 1 Kings 18. Now, the way that's worded, it sounds like Elijah will have wonderful news. But as you read further, you'll discover Queen Jezebel had been systematically killing those who refused to bow their knee to Baal, especially priests and prophets of the Lord. Elijah would be taking his life in his hands as he entered the palace. He may never come out alive. 1 Kings 18 is a story that will captivate your soul, as you'll meet Obadiah, a courageous employee of King Ahab, who risked his life daily by secretly supplying food and water to 100 prophets of God who were in hiding. God's message to Ahab was a challenge to meet Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel and bring his prophets of Baal with him. As they gather, Elijah had one powerful, penetrating question for the Israelites who came to see the showdown. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. 1 Kings 18. Especially since the murder of Charlie Kirk, that question has been elevated to a national challenge all across America. Almost every day I see news reports of violent confrontations between TPUSA supporting people and those who violently oppose everything Charlie Kirk stood for, especially Jesus Christ. But this showdown on Carmel between God's prophet Elijah and Jezebel's prophets of Baal was not an armed conflict and not a verbal debate. Rather, This was a challenge to the gods they both represent. The God of Israel and the God Ahab and Jezebel called Baal were challenged to engage the showdown with one simple, powerful act. Send fire from wherever they reside to one place, Mount Carmel in Israel, and to one specific location, the altar built by their prophet. Whichever God was able to do that with precision and in response to the call of their prophet would be crowned the supreme God, 1 Kings 18. So I have a question for anyone and everyone. Is this a fair challenge? Should the God who deserves the worship and adoration of humanity be able to send fire from wherever they reside to one specific location on planet Earth in response to the cries of their devout worshipers? For several hours, Jezebel's prophets cried out, even cutting themselves with knives, hoping blood would attract Baal's response. Nothing. Silence. For hours. Elijah then built his altar and soaked it with precious water and prayed in a loud voice for all to hear, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. 1 Kings 18. From what we know, the sky was cloudless as it had been for many months in this drought. Suddenly, a single bolt of fire fell out of the sky, precisely onto the altar Elijah had built, not touching the Baal altar. And the fire was so hot it burned up the sacrifice Elijah had put on his altar, and even the water in the trench around his altar. It was over in a few seconds. The record says, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate on the ground and cried out, The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God! With Elijah's altar still smoldering, Elijah called out to those on their faces worshiping, challenging them to take hold of all those false prophets of Baal and kill them. It was essential they eradicate these false prophets, making a mockery of God with their Baal worship. I've stood on the top of Mount Carmel in my visits to Israel, and maybe you have also. It's not difficult when reading 1 Kings 18 on top of Mount Carmel to envision a fireball sent from heaven directly to that altar and the slaughter of Baal prophets which followed. What is more difficult is trying to understand why, then as now, even with such powerful demonstrations of God's response to the cries of his people, do so many people still discount or reject God and his truth? Today, as we read 1 Kings 17 and 18, may I ask us to consider these questions. First, what have been the miraculous experiences in your life which prove God's awareness of your needs, your cries, and his response to you? Second, why, despite the miracles of God you have experienced in your life, do you still doubt God? Third, what part of 1 Kings 17 and 18 is most helpful to you today in your need for renewed hope in God?